Good morning. It's good to be with you again this morning. I wish I were seeing you face to face. I had an opportunity this weekend to teach at a church on Sunday morning down in Sylvania, Georgia, and it was great to see people out there. But I know that what we're doing right now is best for you, because the room we normally meet in is just not conducive to how many I believe would be coming, given the growth we've seen here in Macon. And I want to say again to you who are watching outside of Macon, we do plan to continue recording these sessions so that you can view them. We're going to record it, and someday we'll be back soon, I believe, to meeting in person. But we want to welcome all of you, whether you're watching on Facebook or listening online. And let me just remind you, if you're watching by Facebook, let us know who's here. If you need a copy of the notes and you're looking on Facebook, you can private message Patricia Dudley and she'll get you a copy of the notes. If you're listening online, then send an email to info@mintonwilliams.com and we'll pick that up and get those on the way to you. Particularly for today's session, we've got a lot of scriptures to go through, and so I think you would benefit for having them. I also just want to encourage you, if you haven't been, please prayerfully consider getting into the routine of declaring Ephesians 1, 2, and 3 prayers over yourself, and also 1 Corinthians 13, the love is scriptures that we provided for you. I have been doing it. I have also been listening to myself speak it as I recorded it. I told you last week on my phone as I'm driving, just as I'm out, and the thought comes to me, I just play that thing, and I'm hearing it multiple times a day, and I can tell it's causing a change inside me. So please, if you're not, consider doing that. Today we're going to continue our study into following His footsteps, and we're going to begin to talk about honor, but I want to take just a moment to review some highlights from last week with you. Ephesians 2:10 last week, as we talked about grounded in Jesus, my identity. We finished up on my identity. And we saw in Ephesians 2:10 that we're described as His workmanship. And let me just say, God don't make no junk. And we saw that as evident by what word is used, poema, which literally can mean the masterpiece of an artisan. That's you. That's who God's created you to be. And we were created to do good works that He preordained for us from eternity past. We also looked at Ephesians 3:10 and we saw once again that we have a job to do on this earth, and we are being equipped to do it. The more we see of what is inside us, then the more equipped we're going to become. It's not that we're getting more, it's just that we're getting a revelation on who we are in Him. In the prayer we looked at last week in Ephesians 3:14 through 21, we see the Holy Spirit's prayer for you and I today. It's not just Paul praying for the Ephesians. This is his prayer for us today. And we, the ecclesia, the ecclesia, the called out one, we have His name. And Jesus came in the name of the Father. So just like Him, because remember, we're learning from Jesus in this study. In verse 16, we see that we've been granted to receive from His limitless glory. And again, I'll say, all He is, just like Jesus did. But where is He strengthening our inner man, not our flesh? Nowhere does He talk about our flesh in these prayers. It's always strengthening from the inside so that we can live from our spirit man. And then in verses 17, 18, and 19, we saw that it's the Lord's desire for Him to, for Christ to dwell comfortably in our hearts, and that we being rooted and grounded in that firm foundation of love. And again, I'll say, just as Jesus was grounded in His Father's love. And that we may all comprehend those four dimensions that we talked about. Something that's hard to comprehend, yet it says we can comprehend it. But what do all those four dimensions really describe? His love. That which we're full of and rooted and grounded in. And then it talks about us knowing and experiencing that love that passes knowledge. And this is what really begins to open the doors for us when we have confidence in His love for us. And then the phrase that I know some people want to go tilt on, but being filled with all the fullness of that love. That's the reality. All the fullness of God you've been filled with. And that's what we're gaining revelation and more revelation so that we can be more equipped in our inner man and transform our mind and control our flesh to do those works that he declares. And then I'm just going to read verse 20 and 21, which is the closing. And as we said last week, it's just an awesome couple of verses that gives praise to our God. Now to him who is able to do exceeding abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that is working within us, to him, to you, Father, be the glory in us, the church, and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. So be it. Now, we discussed last week, this is telling us that we are to be the glory, to be seen, not to be covered up. And that really ties in with the word that I gave you last week that the Lord had given me about it's not time for church as normal, but it's time for us to come on up, see him in his glory, and let that glory be seen in us. And as I've heard from many of you last week and talked to some others, that just continues to bear witness. So I'm looking for change as a result of what we're doing here together. Not by my words, but by the ministry of the Holy Spirit to you as his words are planted deep down inside you. So today, I want to shift gears and I want to begin to talk about honor. And I'll say several times, but let me say it at the beginning, honor is a big deal to God. And you'll see that this week and into next week, because I don't believe we're going to cover anywhere near all that the Lord has given me to cover today. In 2018, in April, I was led of the Lord to go visit my friend Dorsey, who now lives in a retirement facility and care facility in just outside of Washington, D.C. At that time, I had heard that Dorsey wasn't doing well. And just let me say today, after being with him and prayers that he and I and encouragement that we gave to each other, which is, again, what we're to do, as Romans 1 tells us, that we may encourage each other as we assemble together, as we meet together. And he is still doing well. He's about 92 or 93 now. He is quarantined in that facility, but he still is doing very well. But when I went on that trip, I went to honor him because he meant so much to me. And we spent a lot of time together in Tennessee. As I landed and called my Uber driver, he picked me up and then we left Washington National Airport and we headed up near the Capitol where you could just look right out the right window and see that facility. And as I did, it was just like a dark shroud came over me. It was strong. And I just began to pray quietly in the Spirit. And as I did, what I really discerned is this is about, in our government, no honor, no respect, and what I'm going to call great hypocrisy, because you hear the legislators, and that's really who I was looking at, was the House and the Senate as on the Capitol building. You hear them talking about my honorable so-and-so, and they'll refer to their opponents in that way. But it's lip service. And we're going to see today that that is not honor. In fact, I'll just say it is hypocrisy, the way it's done. And we don't want to be a part of any of that. So as this happened, I really began, as we finished our drive out to Alexandria and to the facility, to gain a perspective, an increased perspective of how important honor is in our daily lives. And that's something we need to be praying for honor to be released by those who are our elected officials toward each other. Because when that happens, we're going to see we're honoring each other through them when they truly express honor one for another. But this is such a big issue for the Lord There's 190 verses on honor and dishonor, and these words that are used for honor are used 211 times. Now, let me just remind you why we're doing this, and I'm going to read from 1 Peter 2:21, the Weiss translation. And remember, we're learning from Jesus now. And this has kind of been the anchor for this study. It's certainly where we got the name of it from. For this very thing you were called, again, the Weiss translation, because Christ also suffered on your behalf, leaving behind for you a model to imitate. Let me read that again. Leaving behind for you a model to imitate, in order that by close application, so we're not following Jesus doing those things that he did at a distance or doing them totally different from he did. We're doing them as he did, in order that by close application, you and I might follow in his footprints. And that literally the word that is used, it means footprints. So think about this. We've looked at Jesus in these first four sessions, and we saw how he walked in the Father's love. And we've said paramount for him, and obviously we saw for us. And then secondly, we looked at his identity in the Father. And we did that primarily through the prayers that he, the Holy Spirit, prayed through Paul for you and I. And look at what the Lord has given me to teach now. So you've got love, which is the main thing. You've got our identity, which is so key to our success today. And the next thing that he's put on my heart to talk about with you is honor. So I am convinced this is a huge, huge issue for the Lord. And it's so important that we walk in it today. Let me give you some definitions from the dictionary. In a verb form, we'll talk about a verb form and a noun form. And I've just tried to pull a number into a consolidated few. In verb form, it says that the definition for honor is to regard or treat with respect. And I think that's right on target with what we'll see in Scripture. It's also to give special recognition to someone. Now, think about that, to give special recognition to. Now, you've been studying, and hopefully you've been declaring what love is over you. Combine those two together with that unmerited agape love that we're supposed to be sharing with each other, and you begin to see how honor and love just go hand in glove. As a noun, it means a showing of merited respect. So it's addressed to someone who merits respect. And let me just say, that doesn't have to be because they've earned it. One whose worth brings respect or fame. And finally, an evidence of distinction, as in a title or a position. And that just makes me think today how much dishonor there is exhibited toward individuals in our government, from the president down through his cabinet, down into the legislative branch, and even to the Supreme Court, that there's no honor given, even though those are exalted titles in our nation and people who we ought to be treating with honor, whether we agree with them or not. And then there are the synonyms. And I picked out two that I think really summarize it and give us a good picture of it. The first word is deference. Looking towards someone else before yourself, deferring to others. The second one is to prefer. Preferred, out of respect. One of the things I'm praying about is doing a little more in-depth study on love for a few weeks after we complete this series. And you're going to see one element of love is to prefer your brother. But it's also an attribute of honor. So let's go to the scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 2, if you'll turn there, we're going to begin to see what Jesus, who is the Word, so we can look at Old Testament Word, and we can also see pictures of what Jesus' view on this is, because he is the Word concerning honor. And in doing so, as you see what he says in his Word, then you're going to get a picture of how he lived when he was on this earth. So in 1 Samuel 2, we're going to be looking at Eli, And at this point, Samuel has been born, and he's come to serve in the temple with Eli. And I want to pick it up in verse 12 to give you some perspective on what's going on. So we pick up in verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were worthless men. Wow. That's pretty well to the point, isn't it? And it says, they did not know the Lord. Now here are people who are serving as priests. And he calls them worthless and says they do not know the Lord. And the custom of the priests with the people. So they did not know how to serve the people. Now they did some things, but they truly did not know and understand how to serve the people. And when any man was offering the sacrifice, the priest would come while the meat was boiling with a three-pronged fork in his hand, and he would thrust it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. And all that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. They did this in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Verse 15. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, give the priest meat for roasting, for he will not take boiled meat from you, only raw. Well, that sounds like a little lying there also, doesn't it? And then 16, and the man would say to him, they must surely burn the fat first, then take as much as you desire. And he'll say, no, but you shall give it to me now. And if not, I will take it by force. And then verse 17 sums it up. Thus the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men despised, and that's a key word for us to note, the offering of the Lord. So that kind of sets the stage for what we're looking at here. Now, I want to, as we start in this next section of it, I want to start in verse 27, and I want you to see how this position had been honored and established by the Lord. 27 says, a man of God came to Eli and said to him, thus says the Lord, did I not reveal myself to the house of your father when they were in Egypt in bondage to Pharaoh's house? Now let me stop there. If I said, did the Lord not reveal himself to my father in an in-person visit, I would consider that a great, great honor. And I believe you would too. So he is saying here, look what I've done for you and how I've honored you, and you're going to see the family. And did I not choose from all the tribes of Israel to be my priest, to go up to my altar, to draw near to him, to burn incense, to carry an ephod before me? And did I not give to the house of Israel, your father, all the fire offerings to the sons of Israel? So again, he's just reinforcing all the honor that has been presented to them. And then verse 29, which is really 29 and 30 are the key ones here. Why do you push back at my sacrifice and at my offering, which I've commanded in my dwelling? And he's talking to Eli now. And honor your sons above me by making yourselves fat with the choicest of every offering of my people. So pretty direct accusation of the Lord, honoring his sons before him. Now we talked about in love, who are we supposed to love and who's at the top of that position, even above our family? Jesus is. And then verse 30, thus therefore the Lord of God of Israel declares, I did indeed say that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord declares, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me, in other words, who do not esteem, some translations say, who do not esteem me, they will be lightly esteemed. So what do we learn from these verses? Well, one of the things we need to understand is that the word honor that is used here is the Hebrew word kabod, kabod. Now, you may recognize that, or kavod, kavod. You may recognize that as the word which is used for glory It's very similar to it. And the root of this word that is used for honor really means the glory of God. And so it's like His honor, He is honoring you by His glory. Now, what have we been honored with? The Holy Spirit dwelling in us. Well, what an honor that is. So what do we learn from these verses? Well, the first thing we saw was that Eli valued his sons above God, above the law, and I'm going to say also, and above the people that he was responsible for serving. And this was a big deal. And we see how God reacted with it. He said, I'm going to lightly esteem. Now, it's interesting to me, and I think we need to note, that when we are honoring the Lord, we also are probably going to be correcting those over whom we have responsibility for, be it children or grandchildren or a minister over a congregation. And that is something that was lacking. And that tells me that he's really not honoring his son, because you're going to see correction is an attribute of honoring somebody. Maybe next week you will see that. The other thing that it says is they did not value the offerings of the Lord. Now, what impact did this have? It went far beyond what you saw in the verses. Because what we don't read here, but see in other scriptures, is that when the priest did not value the offering, what happened to the people's view of the offering? They began also to not value the offering, to despise it, because they saw it being abused. They saw it becoming something that just was a ritual or common or just something we do. That's just what you do. In other words, there was no value or worth to it. You know, there's a phrase, as the priest, so the people. And this is what we see in this case. And this is why it's so important for Christian leaders today to not just talk the talk, but walk it as well and exhibit it in their life. So I would ask the question then, what is our value system? Who, what do we esteem? And that's what we're going to be looking at in this study. Now I want you to go back to verse 8 of this same chapter. And I'm going to read this, and I want you to see what the heart of the Lord is toward His people, the priest and His people. Verse 8 says, He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles, places of honor, and inherit what? A seat of honor. Now, think about that last phrase. He's going to make us sit with nobles and to inherit a seat of honor. What did Jesus inherit by his honor walk of honor with the Lord? The seat at the right hand. Now, what are you honored with because of the work Jesus did for you that we just believe and receive through his grace? You've been honored because you've been seated with him, in him, at the right hand of the Father. So we're just learning from Jesus what we have in this lifetime. That is so big. That is just shouting ground right there to think about the seat of honor that you've been placed in. And with seats of honor and authority go power. And that's why we've been talking about covenant authority in the past weeks, because the Lord needs us to execute his plan on the earth for him from that seat of honor that you've been seated in. Now go to Mark 6, and we're just going to kind of look at a few scriptures here to introduce what we are going to be spending time on today and again next week. So Mark 6 is when Jesus is in his hometown, and you know what we're going to read, but let's just start back in verse 2. Verse 1 says he's in his hometown at teaching there at Nazareth, and verse 2 says, and when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many listeners were astonished, and they were saying, "Where did this man get these things, and what is this wisdom given to him, and such miracles as performed by his hands?" Now, a couple of things that I want you to pick up here. Where did this man get these things? They saw what? That he was teaching with authority, and that he had great wisdom. Now, when he spoke with authority, and they received the wisdom, what happened? Well, it says miracles were performed at his hand. So again, we see speaking the word, signs and wonders. Just the same calling that we have, we see Jesus fulfilling. So they were impressed when they heard him and they saw him. But then when they began to think about it, look what happened in verse 3. Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James and Joseph and Judas and Simon? Are his sisters not here with us? What are they saying? Wait a minute. He's no different than the rest of us. He's just common like we are. And what happened then when they took that perspective? It says they were offended at him. They were offended at him. Now, why were they offended? Because they're saying, "You're no better than we are." Now, there's a lesson for you and I, and don't compare yourself to others. Honor them, but don't compare to others. Now, they made Jesus as common. And if you've seen anything in these studies these past 4 weeks, you've seen that Jesus was anything but common. But do you see that you're anything but common? You're not just a mere man or woman. You've been created a work of art, a workmanship by the Lord. So we're anything but common. And then look at what Jesus said in verse 4. He said to them, "A prophet is not without honor, except in his hometown and among his own relatives, and in his own household." Now, he's saying that from a negative standpoint. But what is he saying? He's saying when we view somebody as common, as just one of us, that there is not the honor given, regardless of the position or the calling that this person has had attributed to them. Now, the word "no honor," or the words, two words, "no honor," comes from a single word in the Hebrew, the Greek, which is made up of two words. And the first one is "a," which means "not." And the second one is spelled T-I-M-E, but it's not "time," it's "tome." And "tome" literally means, and it's translated, "honor." It means a value, so how you value something, as we saw in the definition earlier. It really points to and has a connotation of a price paid for something. So it's implying what? Another word we saw earlier, the worth that you attribute to something. Now let me just tell you, it is the same word, tome, that is used to describe the precious blood of Jesus in 1 Peter 1:19. So that's the highest honor I think we could receive, is to understand that when we're honored, God is talking about you and I and his view toward us, what he wants to do toward us, raise us up, seat us with him, and he compares it to his blood, which is a full circle to say that's what you're worth to him. Glory, glory to God. Now, Greek word, tome. Highly valued, worth much, anything but common. Now, I want you to think about the words "common" and the word we used last week, "normal," just routine, the same. Saints, again, the Lord is just reinforcing to us, now is not the time for normal. Now is the time for his supernatural. And look at verses 5 and 6, because I want you to see honor has a reward. Said differently, there is impact associated with honor. And it's a two-sided coin. And he could do, talking about Jesus, no miracle there except that he laid his hands upon a few sick people and healed them. And then verse 6 says, and he wondered at their unbelief. So when you view the word as just the word and treat it as normal, you're not seeing it as what? As the anointed word, and no faith is coming or cometh to you. You get my point. And you're not growing when we don't value and honor the word of God. This is a big deal, because I have found it is easy when I'm sitting listening to someone talk to tune out for a second if a thought comes to my mind. But I'm learning, even reinforced as I go through this, I need to focus on what the individual is saying. And the only exception I try to make of that now is when the Lord begins to speak to me about something. And oftentimes when I'm hearing others talk, I'll think something that ties into it, and I'll go writing, making notes. That's also why I listen to teachings a couple of times that really minister to me, because that way I can make sure that I'm honoring what the speaker is saying and that I am picking out and pulling from that those things that the Lord is giving me. Now, what do we learn from these verses about Jesus? Well, that he is to be honored. Highly honored, prized, the value of the blood, his blood, deserves all honor and all glory. Now think about being offended. When you're offended and call somebody as marvelous as Jesus was walking with them on this earth, or even a man of God that you have great honor for today, I'm not saying you put him on a pedestal. You don't worship him. We worship Jesus. We don't worship any other man. But when you honor him, then it keeps you away from pride, from offense, from jealousy. Because you're saying, if you move into that respect where you dishonor him, then you're saying, I'm as good as he is. And what is that? Pride. Or, I could do that if I had just had the chance. And what are we doing? We are treating him as common, but we're building up pride. And I know the scripture says, and you do too, that with that pride comes every evil work. That is not something we want to walk in. So I would say it this way too. There is a loss to you and to me when we don't honor as we should. Now, what was the price they paid by not honoring Jesus, in addition to how they felt personally about him and the animus they had? It said Jesus could do no mighty miracles there. Didn't say he didn't want to do them. I know he did. That's his heart. He wanted to raise them up and seat them and for them to inherit a place of honor where he could exalt them. But they lost the ability to receive from him, from the Lord, through him. And that is so easy for us to do today. So what might we expect when we walk in his footprint? Now, let me back up. Let me make this statement to you. True honor produces a reward. Now, you say, well, I'm not after rewards. Well, don't rule that out, okay? The Lord wants to honor you. And honor is viewed as a reward by him. So you need to learn to receive that honor, to receive what the Lord's offering. And I'll give you a good example of that in a moment. So let me go now. What might we expect when we walk in his footprints? If you begin to walk as he walked, do you think some people are going to say, well, who is that? Well, that's just Susie, or that's just Tricia, or that's just... And what are they doing? They're beginning to view you as common. Not really to bring you down, but to elevate themselves. And they become offended. So we might expect some of that same reaction, some of that same persecution that the disciples walked in, that Jesus walked in. Yeah, so it really shouldn't be a surprise to you. And really, what are they despising? What are they not esteeming? It's not you. It's the anointing in you. And so really, that kind of perspective is anti-anointing, or might I just flat say anti-Christ? Because that's what the evil one is coming for. He's not coming to just take away a man. He's coming to take away the anointing. He wants that same anointing that Jesus walked in. And so it's really just an evil spirit. Now, that leads us to another verse that we need to look at. Isaiah 29, the 13th verse. Isaiah 29, verse 13. And I want to read it in New American Standard, and then I want to read it to you in the New Living Translation. Now, this is being spoken in the midst of a prophecy to Israel, and it's not a real good prophecy, because they have not been walking in this, as you're going to see. Look what the Lord says in verse 13. Because this people draw near with their words, literally means their mouths, and honor me with their lip service. You could just say lips. But they remove their hearts far from me, and their reverence for me consists of tradition learned by rote, or in other words, by men's tradition, by religion. We all know we're not interested in a religion. We're interested in a relationship with Jesus. In the New Living Translation, it says, and so says the Lord, the people say they are mine. They honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. And their worship of me is nothing more than man-made rules learned by rote. So when we learn something and rotely do it over and over and over, and I will plead guilty to this, when I was a youngster in the Methodist Church and learned the doxology, man, I could sing that thing as good as anybody could. But I had no clue what I was doing. And I see now what I missed until I became born again, and not just born again, but really born again and begin to have my mind transformed into who I had become. So what do we see here? True honor is a heart position. This is true in our honor toward God, toward Jesus, but it's also equally true in our honor for each other. And that's why I noted some of the hypocrisy that we mentioned early on. So true honor is a heart issue. Now, we've set the table, and so let's spend some time now in these remaining minutes beginning to go through seven aspects, or seven, what is the right word, objects of honor. And by objects, I'm talking about people. I'm talking about the Father and the Son. So title I've put on this is a lifestyle of giving and receiving honor. Now, the and receiving is really, really important. I want to share with you something that happened to me this past Sunday. I was teaching down in Sylvania, Georgia, and I was standing out in the lobby about 20 minutes or more before the service, talking to one of the people that I've become acquainted with there. And all of a sudden, I hear a voice, and I turn, and there are three people from our church in Macon who also listen to what we're doing today and participate with us. And there they are, standing there. I was without words. I'll tell you some of the words in a minute that came to me that I said that I've been corrected by the Lord as we came home yesterday. But what they were doing was honoring me. And I was so impressed with it. But my immediate thought was, I can't believe you're doing this for me. Now, what am I doing there? I am really rejecting or giving them reasons why they shouldn't have honored me. I'm not receiving that honor. Now, that honor is not going to build me up to a point that I think I'm something. We can't let that happen. But they made an effort to honor what we were doing in this assignment we've been given for the Lord. So in honoring me by coming to there, who are they really honoring? They're showing honor for the Lord and the Word of God that they said they had come to hear. And the Lord really corrected me about that as I drove home yesterday, that you need not to make excuses. And I'm speaking this not just for me, but for someone who's listening. When people commend you, when they honor you before others, don't delve into this self-worthiness. You realize pride on one end of the stick is being elevated. Pride on the other end of the stick is being proud of how humble you are. And it's the same stick. So don't fall into that same trap that I was tempted to do. It was my joy to be able to honor them before the congregation. And I just want to tell you, after the service, I had more people talk about them and how it blessed them that they would do this for someone than I did the fact that they came to see me. And that gave me great joy, because what was the Lord doing with that? He was giving honor right back to Alan and Michelle and Susie. And that just blessed me as I saw how he works. They were getting rewards as they what? Had sown honor to what we were doing there. So giving and receiving. So let's begin to talk about the first of these seven. And I want to talk to first about honoring the Lord. So we're going to go over a lot of scriptures. We're not going to spend a tremendous amount of time on any one of them, but just want to get reinforced. Now, remember, we're looking at Jesus. If we see Jesus do it, then what do we instantly know? We are to do it as well. John 8, verse 49 and the first part of verse 50. And I'm going to read these to you from the New King James. Jesus is talking to a bunch of the Jewish people, and they've been giving him a little bit of a hard time. And in fact, they told him that he had a demon in the previous verse. In 49, Jesus answers and says, I do not have a demon, but I honor to me my Father, and you dishonor me. And then in verse 50, it says, and I do not seek my own glory. Now, the word glory there is the word doxa, which is used commonly for glory in the New Testament. But I want you to know the word doxa is also used some for honor. So again, we see that glory and honor that we talked about earlier. But Jesus is saying, I honor my Father. And that ought to be part of our heart as well in everything we do. In every act we do, it ought to be so God is honored. And that's why there's some scriptures that caution us about how we ought to accomplish certain routine earthly work that we think about. That every work, everything we do, honors the Lord. Now consider this. If Jesus honored the Lord, then it goes without saying. We could stop here and say that's our number one charge. And the other thing I want to mention, though, is did Jesus honor him in all of his ways? Did he even honor him in his offerings? And the answer is yes. And so should we. And that shouldn't surprise us, because the word, Jesus, in Proverbs 3:9 says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. And what are we doing when we make offerings like that? What are we doing when we tithe, particularly if we tithe with a worship, which we're supposed to do, to tithe the tithe? We're honoring God and saying, I'm willing to give you this as the tithe, the 10%, or more if you so choose, because I trust you. One of the things that BJ and I have learned, and I'm almost hesitant to say it, but I'm going to, because I think it may speak to some people. During times where things look bad, where we have lost something, either something breaks that we just at the most inopportune time, or even the stock market go down, Quite often the Lord has moved upon me to give him an offering. Now, understand, I am not, my primary reason for doing it is not giving so I can get. My primary reason for doing it is to turn to him and say, look, I have absolute trust in you. So it's gone down this much, so I'm going to give you this much. And every time we have done that, we have seen things recover for us. We've seen things go better. And that is his way of honoring us, because I'm truly doing it to honor him. Now, am I going to believe for a return because honor has a reward? Yes. But that's not my motive. My motive is to say to you, I honor you, Father. Look at John 8, verse 54. In this same dialogue, just a little later, Jesus says, if I honor myself, then my honor or that honor is nothing. So I'm not doing this when I give an offering, my tithe. I'm not doing it to honor myself and for people to say, wow, look at, he tithes. But what am I doing? I'm honoring my Father. So he says, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me. That's the honor that we want to look when we do something for someone else or from the Lord. We don't want to look for them in return to honor us back. That's being manipulative. Really, that's being hypocritical. But we want to honor the Father, honor Jesus, honor, glorify the Holy Spirit. And what should we expect to happen? We should expect that he's going to provide us an opportunity to be honored just like he did Jesus. And that's the same word. The last honor there is the word doxa. The first one is honoring myself, is the word tome. So we see when we honor ourselves, that can be bad. In fact, Jesus never says it's good. John 5:23, Jesus is talking and he says, all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. So we're learning here that Jesus tells us in his word that the honor we have for him ought to be just like the honor we give to the Father. Now, what does Jesus do with that honor when he receives it from us? What should we do with that honor when we receive it from the Lord? Pass it on to the Father. If you say nice things about this Bible study, I give glory to God, because I know I'm not smart enough in and of myself to minister some of the things that he's given me. And I just give it all to him. And look, the more we give, the more we're grateful for it. It's just going to circle. It's that circle of gratitude that just comes as we live in that thanksgiving. So if this is a principle for Jesus in these days, then that same principle must be in the world today. We must honor. Now, this means that we ought to honor our pastor. And let me finish that verse, because I'm getting ahead of myself. It says, he who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent them. And the point I wanted to make about this is there have been times when my pastors have invited somebody and they just weren't in the flow that I was in. I didn't value them. I did not honor them as I'm called to do. And why am I called to honor them? Because I honor my pastor. But I can give you multiple examples that I'm not pleased to do, of where I didn't like the way he talked or the way he taught. And I did not receive from them. I will tell you that I have one instance that I can remember vividly, where years ago, before we moved, where the Lord corrected me on this. And the next time this individual came, and I went in saying, I'm honoring him, I'm going to listen to every word he says, I'm taking notes, I received. And so that's what we need to see with this, is that Jesus says, if we're going to honor the one, the Father, then we've got to honor the one he sent to us. And this is still true for us today. Now, in the remaining minutes, I want to go to the second one, and we'll probably wrap this up here today with this one. And this is the honor toward the body of Christ. or the church, here on the earth. John 12, verse 26. Jesus talking, and again in New King James. All should honor the Son. 12:26. I'm reading one up there. If anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. And then listen to this phrase. If anyone serves me, him, my Father, will honor. Again, the word to me. In other words, as we serve, then he values what we're doing, and he's going to honor us because of the value he places on what we're doing. Now, this is the Father honoring you and I. And what do we do again when we receive that? You're going to see we turn right around and give it back to him. Now, this shouldn't surprise you, because in Psalm 8, talking about how the angels looked when the Father created man, it says, "What is man that you're mindful of him, and the Son of Man that you visit him?" And I can hear the angels saying, "He didn't come visit us when we were created. He just created us, and we had assignments and things to do." But look at what it says. "For you have made him a little lower than the angels," or that word literally means God, "and you have crowned him with glory and honor." So there in the Old Testament, if I can use the Greek word for the New Testament, tome and doxa again. Glory and honor. So both are represented here, and that's what the Lord said the angels were saying about man when they saw the attention, the value that they recognized the Lord was placing on man. Psalm 91 says, "He shall call upon me and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble." It says, "He shall call upon me and I'll answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and I will honor him." So here's another verse. And then right after that is when it says he's going to give us a long life and show us his goodness, his salvation for us. So the Lord is honoring us as we work with his Holy Spirit, doing what we're told to do, accomplishing that, and then we can turn around and honor the Holy Spirit. We don't want to say, "Oh, I'm not worthy of that." I mean, back into that receiving honor. We want to thank you, Lord, for honoring me in this. I give honor back to you, and I ask you to give me something else that will bring glory to Jesus. And then Jesus takes that glory and honor and just turns it right back to the Father. Now look at 1 Corinthians 12. And this is, we're going to read a few verses from this chapter. We're going to start in verse 20 and go to 27. Talking again about the body of Christ. So now we're getting into, we've seen that the Father is going to honor the body, everyone in the body he desires to honor. And we're going to see we're to do the same. "But now there are many members, but one body." Verse 21. "And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Or again, to the feet, I have no need of you." What are we doing if we do that? Well, we're saying, "I'm not common, but you are." That's what we're really doing. We're building ourselves up, often at the expense of someone else. "On the contrary," verse 22, "it is much truer that members of the body who seem to be weaker are necessary." That's certainly true. You think about a thumb, you think my hand is important, but without the thumb, that hand is greatly limited. Or the toes on your feet. Without toes, the feet aren't working well. So we don't want to esteem something lower than we should. We want to place a worth or a value on it. And then verse 23, which is the verse here, says, "And these members of the body, which we deem less honorable, on these we bestow more abundant honor. And our unseemly members come to have more abundant seemliness." In other words, as we honor them, we see a greater value in them. And I also believe that not only do we see a greater value, they will see the value that the Lord has placed in them And that will encourage them to step out and do more in this body that we're fitly joined together with. Verse 24 says, it seems our seemly members have no need of it, but God has so composed the body, giving more abundant honor to that member which lacked. And why did he do this? Verse 25, that there should be no division in the body. In other words, when we do this, what are we promoting? Unity. And where is the blessing, according to Psalm 133? There, in that unity, is where the blessing is. And it says that all members should have the same care one for another. Now, it's not saying we're not going to have people who we're closer to. But it's saying we can't look at others as not being worth being close to, not being worth caring about. 26 goes on to say, and if one member suffers, all the members suffers with it. And if one member is honored, all the members should do what? Should rejoice in it. In other words, if I'm recording here with Patricia, if she is honored in something, I ought to celebrate that with her just as if I have been honored. And the reason that's true is because we're joined in Jesus. So we are joined together. And that's some of what hurts me as I see Christians backbiting against each other and sects of Christians talking about each other today. When we ought to be, we don't have to talk against them. We can honor them by keeping our mouths shut. 27 says this, now you are Christ's body and individually members of it. Now, in wrapping this up today, I want to read one more scripture. We're going to go to Matthew 10. And as we go to Matthew 10, I want to just remind you what we read in John 5:23, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. So he's talking about honoring the one who was sent. Now, if I read chapter 10, verse 40, then it says this, he who receives you receives me. Now, let's just stop there. So if we take that verse and we take what Jesus said about honoring the one who was sent, then the next phrase, which says, he receives me, he who receives me receives him who sent him. Then let's take this and let's replace these words, receives, with honor. In fact, I'm just going to read it to you in the Bible in the BBE, Bible in Basic English. This is what the implication is. He who gives honor to you gives honor to me, and he who gives honor to me gives honor to him who sent me. 41, he who gives honor to a prophet in the name of the prophet will be given a prophet's reward. And he who gives honor to an upright man in the name of the upright man will be given an upright man's reward. So we're talking about honoring and receiving, or receiving and honoring. And it concludes by saying, and whoever gives to one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of the disciple, truly I say, he will not go without his reward. So what do we know that this person's doing when we give someone a cup of cold water like that, an act of kindness? We are what? Honoring them. So this brings me to the conclusion of this section, which I'll say one more time. We're to honor our peers in the body of Christ without any hint of hypocrisy. In other words, you shouldn't have an ulterior motive in honoring somebody. You don't want to honor them hoping they're going to honor you. And unfortunately, we see this, and probably we fight some of this ourselves, in churches at all the different levels of the callings. There should be no competition with us. It sounds like agape, and honoring is, if it's done out of the right heart, it's an act of love. You're honoring because you're commanded to, and you're doing it because there's love there in your heart for them. And we're honoring those who don't even seem to be important because we need each other. There is such a dependency. Now, this final comment, As I gave you in the example earlier, we must learn to receive honor with humility, as I learned more about this past Sunday. Don't shun honor from a brother or sister. Don't push back on it. Why? Because when they give honor, what is coming to them from the Father? A reward. And you don't want to impede that blessing that they're going to get at all. And then finally, I'll say it one more time, we should rejoice, just as I think Jesus rejoiced. When the woman with the issue of blood came and took her healing and Jesus saw her, says he saw her in all that crowd when he looked, I don't think he had a scornful look on his face. I think he was rejoicing because she had honored him by coming to him because of what she heard about him. And she believed him enough to take that healing. And I think that brought him great joy. And thus he honored her as he complimented what? Her great faith. So we're going to pick up here next week and continue on honor. We'll talk about family. We'll talk about government, civil authority. And that'll take us into talking about positions of authority. And then we'll wrap this up. But we'll also probably roll into this, if we have time, two elements that are tied tightly to it, or start to. One is submission, and I know that's not a popular term, and it's almost as unpopular as the word obedience, because you're going to see, to honor, you will submit, and you'll be a obedient servant. Bless you. I trust this has blessed you as much as it has me in preparing it and delivering it to you today. And so, Father, I just ask you right now, as I bless these people as they go on this week, that this word become implanted in our heart, that they'll show acts of kindness out of honor to others. And Father, when they do, just remind them of it. And I also ask you to give them the reward which you have for them. We ask this in the name of Jesus, knowing that he is going to honor you because you are our good, good Father. Amen. We'll see you next week.